We will begin the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning with a reading from the Rock Cliff Review. And the title of the article is, Having Our Hearts Sprinkled and Our Bodies Washed. The text is Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:22. Hebrews 10:1 tells us that the law was a shadow of things to come, and not the very image of those things. This is key to understanding how our hearts are sprinkled and why our bodies are washed. The divine service of the old law was a bloody affair. The book of Leviticus is filled with blood. Blood is one of the key words of this book. The word blood is found 88 times in these 27 chapters. Leviticus 17:11 says, The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it you to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. When Moses came down from the mountain with the law of God, he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, All that the Lord hath said will we do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words, Exodus 24:6-8. The Hebrew writer makes mention of this blood. In Hebrews 9:18-22, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of mercy, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Along with the blood, there was the washings of water. We read in Exodus 30:18-21, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offerings made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and his seed throughout their generations. This old sprinkling of blood and washing of water was but a ceremony. It was to take those who were ceremonially unclean and to ceremonially purify them, that they may draw near unto the Lord. This ceremony was a shadow. It did not purify them spiritually. Hebrews 10:4 says, It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. The substance of the blood is the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:12-14 says, Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It is the blood of Christ that purifies. With a true heart we have boldness in drawing near to God, Hebrews 10 and verse 19. It is not possible with those who are conscious of their sins, Hebrews 10 and verse 2. There is a washing of water under the new covenant. For Ananias told Saul, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins," Acts 22:16. This baptism is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, 1 Peter 3:21. It is when we're baptized in water that Jesus washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 15. Now I read from the Rockcliffe Review, and this is the bulletin that is passed out to those who attend the worship on Sunday mornings at Rockcliffe. And the bulletin article, this one, having our hearts sprinkled and our bodies washed, most of the time it has something to do with the sermon that is going to be preached that morning. I read from the Rockcliffe Review. Because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in this radio Bible school, we spend our time studying old Sunday school lessons. And we're in the midst of a Sunday school lesson that was written for the Sunday schools of January the 16th, 1927, by E.A. Elam. It is on the Christian's use of the Bible. And the first verse that we're studying in this lesson is Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, where Moses said, "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah." He is saying this because God does not want his people mixing his worship with the worship of idols. God is the only one true and living God, and the worship with idolatry has no place in the worship of God. These kinds of admonitions are repeated in the New Testament. You remember what Jesus said to Satan in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10? "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." We read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and in verse 6, that there is one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in you all. And we read in Colossians, chapter 3, and verse 5, that covetousness is idolatry. Some professed Christians are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 14. But all are forbidden to love the world. In John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, we read, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And we continue reading, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So God must be loved. But how must we love God? Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 and 6. Thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. Jesus repeated the command of this verse as the first and greatest commandment in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. All the heart, all the soul, and all the might embrace all the inner powers or spiritual nature and mental and physical strength that we have. All these must be enlisted into the service of God. But to love God is to obey Him. And this is repeated throughout. John 14:15, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. And 1 John 5 and verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. These things shall be upon thy heart. To keep God's statutes and commandments upon the heart is to remember them and be conversant with them and to have the whole life brought under their influence and guidance. We read in Psalm 119 and verse 11, thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The parable of the sower illustrates now the power of God's word and the importance of receiving it into the heart to the exclusion of other things. In James chapter 1 and verse 21 we read, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And then we are to teach these things diligently to our children. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7 it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Teach, and diligently. Are words full of meaning? We know what is meant by doing anything diligently. With diligence, parents are to teach the Word of God to their children. To teach means to cause to know. Hence, parents must give all diligence to cause their children to know the Word of God. It is out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and this is the most effectual way to cause children to appreciate and learn the Bible. When parents are so saturated, as it were, with the Word of God, so overflowing with it, that they talk of it when they sit together with the children in the home, when they walk together and remember it as the last thing upon retiring to bed and the first thing upon arising in the morning, then their children and neighbors likewise will be impressed with it and realize that to obey God is indeed the foremost thing, the one purpose of life. Parents cannot teach that which they do not know and do not desire to teach. Parents are now commanded to nurture their children, cause them to grow and develop in the chastening and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. This is a sadly neglected duty which brings irreparable and immeasurable injury to children, the matters of which parents talk most to one another and to their children. The children are led to consider of greatest importance. And when the Word of God is not spoken of at all, it is natural for children to consider it of no importance. Parents can commit no greater sin against their children than to fail to lead them to love and obey the Word of God. This command to teach the Word of God to their children is frequently repeated to the Israelites, and God pronounces a great blessing upon all who fear Him, think upon His name, and speak often with one another in regard to Him. He calls them His jewels in Malachi 3:16-18. They are His own possession, and He will spare, as a father spares his own son and serves him, and whose names are written in a book of remembrance. Well, we need to take that lesson to heart and make sure we're studying God's Word and teaching it to our children.